So we're diving into the fascinating world of LLMs for coding. It's a hot topic, lots of buzz, but also a fair bit of confusion.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen so many developers online like totally hyped about LLMs, then bam, disappointment.
Right? It's not as simple as some folks make it out to be. This article, Here's How I Use LLMs to Help Me Write Code, really gets into the nitty-gritty.
Oh, like what?
Well, the author, Simon Willison, he's been using LLMs for coding for a couple of years, and he stresses the importance of realistic expectations.
Makes sense. It's not magic, right?
Definitely not. He talks about treating LLMs like an overconfident pair programming partner. Fast, helpful, but prone to hallucinations.
Hallucinations? Like making stuff up?
Exactly. Non-existent libraries, incorrect methods, you know, things a human coder would never do.
So how do you avoid those pitfalls?
So Simon Willison really emphasizes treating LLMs like a really keen intern, right?
Yeah. Somebody who's like eager to please but needs careful direction. He makes a point about starting simple, like get a basic version working first.
Right. Iterate. Don't try to build the whole, you know, Taj Mahal of code in one go. Start with a shed, then a small house, then maybe a slightly bigger house.
Ha ha! I like that analogy. And he mentions seeding the context, right? Giving the LLM existing code to work with.
Oh yeah, that's key. Like showing it examples of similar code, so it gets the style, the libraries you're using. He talks about this with his JavaScript OCR app.
Using Tesseract.js and PDF.js? I think I read that post. Really cool stuff. So it's not just about asking it to write code from scratch.
Exactly. It's more like, hey, I've got these building blocks. Can you help me assemble them in a new way?
Makes sense. And he talks about using LLMs for research too, right? Figuring out what libraries are available.
Yeah, like asking it for options for different approaches. What are my choices for doing X in language Y? That kind of thing.
Which is smart, right? Because, I mean, who can keep up with every new library these days?
Totally. And he points out the training cutoff issue, which is valid. You might not get the newest library, but probably a more stable one.
Right? The tried and true. Better to stick with something reliable, especially in production.
Definitely. And then once the research phase is done, he shifts gears, right? Becomes much more directive.
Yeah. From collaborative brainstorming to, okay, intern, write this function exactly like this.
He gives a great example with the Python asyncio HTTPX function. Very specific instructions like check the content length, validate the SQLite data, all that good stuff.
And the LLM delivers, which is impressive. 15 seconds versus 15 minutes, that's a game changer.
Totally. He emphasizes using clear function signatures, telling the LLM exactly what you want. Like, be the architect, let it be the builder. Even down to specifying the testing framework, PyTest in his example.
Yeah, now write the tests. So it's really about leveraging the LLM's strengths, speed, accuracy, and tireless refactoring abilities.
So this Simon Willison, he's really into using LLMs for coding, right? Like really into it.
Yeah, he's got a whole system. He even picks his LLM tools based on whether they can like safely run and iterate on his code. It's pretty wild.
I mean, he mentions ChatGPT Code Interpreter, Claude Artifacts, ChatGPT Canvas. It's a lot to keep up with, honestly.
Right? And each one has its own quirks. Like ChatGPT Code Interpreter is super safe because it's all sandboxed. Can't even make outbound network connections, apparently.
Which, you know, makes sense. Limits the damage, right? Then there's Claude Artifacts, which actually builds you a little web app inside the Claude interface. HTML, JavaScript, the whole shebang.
Oh yeah, in a lockdown iframe. That's a neat approach. Keeps things contained, prevents data leaks.
Exactly. And ChatGPT Canvas is supposed to be similar, but he hasn't really dug into that one yet. Then there's the more adventurous options, like Cursor, Windsurf, Aider.
Aider. Now that one's interesting, because it's like self-improving. Recent releases are mostly written by Aider itself. Crazy, right?
It is. Then there's Claude Code, which is Anthropic's offering, and sounds super powerful, especially for Python stuff.
Oh yeah, like what kind of stuff?
Well, he gives this example where he built a whole new page for his website using Claude Code, and it could directly access his files and run Python code against them.
Whoa, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, and get this. It only took him like 17 minutes and cost like 61 cents in API calls. Pretty efficient, huh?
For a whole web page? That's insane. So how did he, you know, actually do it? Just like ask the LLM to build it.
Well, he used what he calls the authoritarian process. Basically, he told the model exactly what he wanted, step by step.
So like very specific instructions.
Yeah, he started by asking for a Python script to like gather data for the page from his commit messages. It had to extract URLs and output them in a specific JSON format. Pretty intricate stuff.
Huh, sounds like he's really treating it like that overconfident intern he talked about earlier. Lots of direction.
So, he's like really driving this LLM like a rented mule, huh? Telling it exactly what to do, every step of the way. This authoritarian approach, right?
Yeah, it's fascinating. He starts with this pretty vague instruction for a Python script, gatherlinks.py, to pull data from commit messages. Doesn't even really specify the format, just kind of vibes it out.
Right? Total stream of consciousness coding. But then he refines it, gets more specific. Hey, I need the whole URL, not just the beginning. Oh, and also, grab the entire commit message too, and format it this way in JSON.
It's like he's training a digital apprentice, you know, showing it examples, correcting its mistakes, gradually getting it to do what he wants.
And the crazy thing is, he hasn't even looked at the code the LLM is generating, purely focused on the output, the JSON. Vibe coding, he calls it. Pretty wild.
Yeah, and then he throws another curveball. Okay, now write a new script, build colophon.py, to turn that JSON into a mobile-friendly HTML page. Just like that.
And Claude, you know, being Claude, just does it. Builds a web page. Maybe not perfect at first, but he gives it some feedback, tells it to fix the formatting, the dates, the order of the commits.
It's like he's sculpting the code with his words, right? Chipping away at it until it's just right. List the pages by most recent, not alphabetically. Boom, done.
So he's watching the LLM like a hawk this time, right? Because messing with GitHub Actions can get dicey.
Yeah, he wants to learn how to customize the builds, but also, like, not break everything in the process. Smart.
Totally. And the LLM asks permission to create a file, which is polite, I guess.
It's also like a safety feature, right? Making sure it's not doing anything crazy without approval.
Good point. So the YAML file it creates? Pretty standard stuff. Runs on pushes to main, checks out the full Git history.
Which, by the way, the LLM itself points out is important for the gather link script. Nice touch.
Right? It even knows why it needs the full history. Impressive. Sets up Python, installs dependencies, runs the scripts.
The whole nine yards. And then sets up pages, builds with Jekyll, uploads the artifact. It's all there.
And he notices that the LLM correctly added the fetch depth 0 to get the full Git history, something he might have missed otherwise.
Which is huge. Those little details can really trip you up. And then the LLM adds those generated files to gitignore. Smart move.
Keeps the repo clean. So the LLM summarizes its work so far, nice and organized, creates the workflow file, sets up everything, adds to gitignore.
And explains what happens on push to main. Run the scripts, generate the files, deploy to pages, clear as day.
He checks the cost. 17 cents, 45 seconds of API time. Not bad at all.
For all that work, that's insane. Though, he mentions getting distracted for 10 minutes. Relatable.
Haha! So he pushes the code, takes a deep breath, and it works. The colophon page goes live.
But there's a catch, right? Something's not quite right with the GitHub Actions interface.
Yeah, he sees two separate deploys, which is suspicious. Turns out the old Jekyll deploy was still running alongside the new one.
So it was just luck that the new one finished last and overwrote the old one. Yikes.
Time for some good old-fashioned human intervention. He ditches the LLMs and hits the documentation.
But the first page he finds doesn't quite answer his question. So he follows another hunch and checks the GitHub page's settings.
Bingo. The repo was set to deploy from a branch, not GitHub Actions. He makes the switch.
And then updates the README to trigger a new build. This time, everything works as expected. Just two jobs, clean deploy.
So, it sounds like even he admits there are times when it's just faster to do it yourself. Right? Like with that GitHub Actions thing.
Yeah, sometimes good old-fashioned human know-how trumps digital apprentices. But the point he makes about the speed of development is huge, right? 30 minutes, conception to deployment. That's mind-blowing.
Totally. And it's not just about speed. It's about enabling projects that wouldn't have happened otherwise. That's a powerful argument for LLMs in coding.
Right? like it lowers the barrier to entry for so many ideas. He ties it back to a post from 2023 about LLMs making him more ambitious. 2 years later, still true, still relevant.
It's like LLMs give you the power to experiment more, learn faster, like with customizing those GitHub page builds. He learned something new, and he'll use it again. It's a virtuous cycle.
Absolutely. More ideas, faster execution, more learning. It's like a snowball effect.
But he's also careful to point out that LLMs amplify existing expertise, right? It's not like anyone could have done this. He's drawing on decades of experience.
Exactly. He knew it would work. He had the confidence based on his experience with these tools. That's key, I think.
It's not just about prompting skills. It's about understanding the underlying technology. He knew what the LLMs were capable of, so he could direct them effectively. Dictate the design, test the results, nudge to fix bugs. That's his process in a nutshell.
Makes total sense. It's a different story if you're trying to build something you know nothing about, like a Linux kernel driver. He acknowledges that.
Right. And then he throws in this bonus use case, answering questions about code bases. Low stakes, potentially huge time saver. I like that idea.
Oh yeah, like what kind of questions?
Well, he gives the example of this monolith tool written in Rust. He wanted to know how it worked, so he fed the code to an LLM, Google Gemini 2.0 Pro in this case.
Using his files to prompt tool and that LM command. Pretty slick.
Yeah, and he just asks for an architectural overview as markdown, and boom, the LLM gives him a detailed document explaining how the tool works, which libraries it uses. Super helpful. Right? He learns it uses request, HTML5 ever, all those Rust crates, and he discovers a key limitation. It doesn't evaluate JavaScript. That kind of insight is invaluable.
He says he uses this trick several times a week. It's like having a super-powered code navigator. Satisfies his curiosity, which is, you know, what drives a lot of us developers.
Exactly. It's not always about writing new code, it's about understanding existing code. LLMs are great for that.
It's all about using the right tool for the job. Sometimes it's the LLM, sometimes it's you. And knowing the difference is crucial. Well, that wraps up another episode of Nutty's Show. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
It's been a pleasure, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.